This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. That is a Mozart trio movement in D major. But the part you're hearing right now wasn't composed solely by Mozart. This string section was written by Harvard music professor Robert Levin. He also plays piano on this recording. Levin recently completed 3 unfinished Mozart pieces. The legendary composer left behind an unusually high number of incomplete works at the time of his death, 140 of them. Levin explained to us why that was.
He was a short order cook. He was trying to be a freelance artist at a time when there basically weren't freelance artists. Most of the time, he was scrounging to be able to feed his wife and his kids. And as a result, if he decided to write a string quartet and somebody knocked on the door and said, I want a wind serenade, he stopped writing on the string quartet and started to work on the wind serenade because it was a life and death matter.
When I hear about unfinished works by Mozart, I can't help but wonder whether Mozart really never got around to finishing them, or whether maybe he intentionally left them unfinished because he wasn't happy with them, and in his mind it was a discard. So when you're finishing something, how can you be sure Mozart really wanted it finished?
One can never be 100% sure, but in fact, the argument that people make, and very often musicologists tend to defend the status quo, if this is what happened, that's because it should have been that way. But in the case of these pieces, the argument is that Mozart didn't finish them because they weren't good enough. Well, we can also look at the pieces and decide whether we think they weren't good enough. And when you look at them, you realize that they were more than good enough, and some of them have more interesting ideas than some of the finished pieces.
The Mozart pieces that you completed are 3 trio movements composed for piano, violin, and cello. Let's listen to one of them. And if you would, could you identify where Mozart's work stops and yours picks up?
Sure.
Let's listen to the movement in G major.
This is all Mozart. String parts by me, piano by Mozart, violin by Mozart, cello by me. Violin part by me, just the piano part by Mozart. Violin part by Mozart, everything else by me. Everything by me.
Now, to my ear, and I assume the ear of many listeners, I can't tell the difference between the original and the newer part, but I assume that that's a sign of success when the handoff is seamless.
That's exactly right. It's always my goal that a well-educated listener will be unable to detect any seam whatsoever. That shows that I've done my work well.
I would assume it must take a fair amount of confidence to be willing to take on the challenge of finishing the work of such a giant of the classical music world. Is it intimidating when you sit down to do that?
Well, it is a lesson in humility, yes, because the thing about Mozart that is so remarkable is that it seems on its surface so simple. The more you discover about it, the more sophistication you realize lurks below the surface.
Robert Levin, I want to play a different piece of music that you finished. This is the trio in D minor.
From here, it's only Mozart on the piano, and there's nothing else. But my version doesn't call for anything else, so you can't tell that I've added anything, because in fact, I've subtracted. The earlier completion had a cello part here. From here on, it's all by me. Now, if listeners paid attention to what we just did, they would hear that the piano started by playing a passage all by itself. And then when the strings came in, they played the same thing. This is a typical Mozart thing. It's a democracy. What the piano gets to do, the strings get to do. So there's nothing really special about my decision to do that because it's clear that Mozart would have done that. I can be 100% certain that Mozart wanted the string players to do what the piano did. But then after that, there are small questions and then bigger ones.
We should note that when Mozart stopped working on a piece, he didn't come to a dead halt at the same place with every instrument in the music. Oftentimes, he got a little further along with the piano, maybe not as far with the violin. So you are coming in and out at different places in the piece.
Absolutely. What his idea is to establish a train of thought so that when he comes back to the piece, no matter how much later it is, his astonishing memory could regestate the whole piece. He could rethink it.
If Mozart were able to hear the pieces that he started that you then finished, what do you think he'd say to you? How would he size them up?
Well, That's a question to put the fear of God into anybody. He might say, well, I mean, all things considered, it wasn't so bad, you know. He was not actually very generous in his words of praise, but I would hope that he would perhaps say that it wasn't too bad.
Robert Levin, thanks very much for coming into the studio.
A pleasure.
Robert Levin is a music professor at Harvard. The three previously incomplete Mozart pieces that he recently finished will be performed at MIT's free Mozart Marathon next Saturday, February 25th at 8 p.m.